Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, good morning, everyone. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1. This morning we're going to focus on how our King, Jesus, he empowers us to carry on his mission. We have an empowering King. Jesus' death, it gives us new life. And with that new life comes new purpose, new mission. And we're going to see that from Acts chapter 1, where it's actually the story where Jesus has risen from the dead and he goes back up to heaven. There are some events over the course of a person's lifetime that really shifts their purpose or gives them a new mission. Someday when you graduate from high school or college, your purpose will change from being someone who goes to school to learn to someone who is contributing to society in some way. Another life event that shifts your purpose is marriage. All of a sudden, it's not just about me, it's about we. Another one that happens is when you have your first child. I have four kids, and especially with the first one, it was like, this is completely different now. I think totally different now that I'm a parent. I have added responsibility. I have new things I have to do. I have to think from a different perspective. Well, this morning's story in Acts 1 is an event that shifted what life was like for the disciples. And it also gives us purpose and mission today. Let's start actually with a different verse that kind of will lead us into Acts chapter 1. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to put it on the screen. From 2 Corinthians, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." When we come to the realization that because Jesus intercedes for us and we can now have peace with God and peace with one another, it shifts us from thinking from a worldly perspective to now one from his perspective, a kingdom perspective, a heavenly perspective. Because we realize the depth of Christ's love for us, it compels us or it motivates us to live for him and not for ourselves anymore. Let's look at how the disciples came to understand this in Acts chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1. The writer of Acts is a guy named Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and so this is kind of his sequel. He says, "In my former book, Theophilus," that's who we had initially sent the letter to, "I wrote all about Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering," talking about Jesus, "he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Verse 4. "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John," talking about John the Baptist, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's say a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the mission that you've enlisted us to be a part. And thank you, Lord, that you empower us to carry out that mission in the world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's divide it into three sections. Okay, the first three verses are introductory to the book of Acts, and they remind us of the three gospel events. So, as I mentioned last night, the gospel can be explained many ways. Another way to do that is by just simply talking about the gospel events. These are the three key events of the gospel, and we've talked about them all already. One, the incarnation, how Jesus came. He put on flesh, he lived among us, he entered into our broken world. Two, the crucifixion, Jesus died. Why did he die? Because mankind is sinful and needed a savior. And Jesus, though he lived a perfect life, he died an innocent death so that he could take the penalty for sin on himself, so that we could be forgiven, so that the price for sin could be paid. The third gospel event then, of course, is the resurrection. Jesus took the penalty for sin on the cross and died, but because he was God, he showed his authority over death in rising from the dead. So Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. These are the gospel events that Luke, the writer of Acts, reminds us of in the first three verses. It says that Jesus appeared after his resurrection for about 40 days. He continued to speak about the kingdom of God. He appeared to many people, gave many convincing proofs that he really was alive again. And then he prepares to ascend back to heaven. This creates a really interesting situation for the disciples because their leader is leaving. Now the disciples are responsible for carrying on the mission of Jesus. And this mission is really spelled out well in verse 8. If you have your Bible, underline verse 8, because this is another instance in the Bible of the Great Commission. Now some of you have heard that term before, and some of you haven't. That's okay. But basically, we call these summary instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples and to all of us Christians after them on what our mission is. In this case, Luke explains the Great Commission in this way. He says in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my..." Let's wake up. All right, here you go. You ready? "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my..."
Witnesses.
Let's hear it one more time. "You will be my..."
Witnesses.
To be a witness means you tell others about things that you've seen or experienced. He says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem." That's the city where they were at, where Jesus had died, where he had rose from the dead, and where they were staying with Jesus. He says, "You'll be my witnesses. You'll tell about your experiences with me in Jerusalem here. But then you're going to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria," which is like the area or region around Jerusalem. "And then you're going to actually take the message of the gospel that Jesus came, that he died, and that he rose again. You're going to take it to the ends of the earth." And that's a summary of what Acts is all about. The first 7-8 chapters of Acts, the gospel's being proclaimed in Jerusalem. And then the second part of Acts, the gospel's being proclaimed in Judea and Samaria. And then finally, by the end of Acts, Paul is taking the gospel all the way to Rome, the end of the known world at that time. Another account of the Great Commission is Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. Another way that one of the followers of Jesus summed up Jesus' final instructions was, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." At the end of that Matthew 28 passage, Jesus ends by saying this, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Even though I'm leaving you in person, I'm going to send my Spirit to live inside you." And so that leads us to understanding who the Holy Spirit is. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the power and the presence of God who is given to all believers. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "In a few days, if you wait in Jerusalem, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God that occupies our hearts as believers. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, later on in Acts, in chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says it very clearly. He says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit." If you're a Christian, if you've decided to follow Jesus, if you've asked him to forgive your sin, and you call upon him as your king, you have it. You have God's Spirit living in you. His power and his presence resides in you. And this Spirit, it gives us new life and new purpose. And with that, he empowers you to carry on the Great Commission. He empowers you to be a witness for him. Let's see how that happened for one person. I hope your Bible's still open because we're going to start to flip our pages here a little bit. How does the Holy Spirit equip us to carry out the Great Commission? To pull out three ways that the Holy Spirit equips us, we're going to look at the life of Peter in the first few chapters of Acts. First, the Holy Spirit gives us the words to say when we share our faith. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to say when we share our faith. If you flip the page once, you'll see that something incredible happens at the beginning of Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes down in a very dramatic and powerful way. And because it's such an incredible spectacle, the people in Jerusalem are wondering what in the world is going on. Peter is the first to stand up publicly in front of thousands of people to explain that Jesus has ascended back to heaven after dying on the cross and rising from the dead, and now he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter addresses a crowd of thousands in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 41. And this is curious because what do we know about Peter from just before the crucifixion of Jesus? Anybody remember a story about Peter right before the crucifixion of Jesus? Yeah? He was hiding the fact that he was with Jesus. He denied Jesus. "I don't even know who Jesus is what he said. in a moment of danger before Jesus' crucifixion. So Peter, this guy who had just 40-some days before denied even knowing Jesus because he was scared, he's the first one to stand up after the Holy Spirit comes to proclaim to thousands who Jesus Christ was. The Holy Spirit gave Peter the words to say. And it says, as a result of his preaching that day, many, many, many people decided that they wanted to be Christians as well. I remember a very special moment in Judson when I was a first-year cabin leader here at Miracle Camp. As I told you already, I grew up going to camp. And all of a sudden, the night before week one of being a cabin leader at camp, the weight and responsibility just felt heavy. Now I'm on the other side. Now I'm leading these campers. What if one of these campers asks me how to become a Christian? And so I remember laying on the floor in Judson 3 with my Bible open, looking for the verses that I was going to share with a student if they decided they wanted to know how to become a Christian. I remember writing 4 verses on a note card, ones that I had learned in high school through the Bible quiz team that I was a part of. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve for sin is ultimately death and judgment. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God gave me a plan. And it wasn't a plan that's unique to me. Like many, many people have learned those verses. But God led me through his Spirit to write down what I was going to say if one of my campers wanted to become a Christian. I had to explain what the gospel was. Week 4 of camp that summer, it was one of those special weeks where all 9 of my 3rd and 4th graders decided that they wanted to be Christians. And they asked me in our cabin devotions, if you really had to summarize it, how do you become a Christian? Pulled out my note card. I said, God's equipped me. He's given me what to tell you right now. And I was able to lead them into an understanding of what it means to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to say when we share our faith. He doesn't give us a mission and a task to be his witnesses without equipping us with what to say. Now, there's many ways, like I've said already, to explain the gospel, to bear witness to Jesus as King. But after years and years of sharing the gospel with people, I know very well that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in the moment, if you're willing. The Holy Spirit equips us to carry out the Great Commission by giving us the words to say when we share our faith. There may be a friend back at home, or a relative, or a parent even, that you've kind of sensed before that God wants you to bring up Jesus to. Trust that the Holy Spirit in you, because you're a Christian, will give you the words to say in that moment if you're willing, if you're brave enough to decide, I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus today. Number two, how does the Spirit equip us to carry out the Great Commission? The Holy Spirit makes us bold. Remember that coward named Peter who denied Jesus? It didn't stop with Acts chapter 2 and him preaching this one-time message. If you turn to Acts chapter 3 and 4, you'll see that Peter is repeatedly telling people about Jesus and showing Jesus' love. And not everybody likes it. In fact, many of the Jewish leaders, they try to shut him up because they feel threatened by him, because they feel like that he and some of the other apostles are undermining their authority. They feel like he's distracting people from following them. And so Peter and other apostles are thrown in jail. And they always realize that they don't really have much to charge these guys with. And so the disciples who are carrying out Jesus' work and sharing Jesus' message, they're mistreated, they're imprisoned, but sometimes through human means and sometimes through divine means, they're freed from prison. And what do? After they've gotten in trouble for sharing the gospel, they do it again. In fact, Peter says in one spot, when asked by the Jewish officials, why do you keep on speaking about Jesus? He says, we must obey God rather than men. If Jesus told us to share about him, to be his witnesses, we're going to obey. How did they get such boldness? It was the Holy Spirit who gave them that boldness. When you have the power and presence of God living in you, it makes you willing to take risks. It gives you the courage to speak up. It gives you the perseverance to keep going, even if following Jesus is costing you. Number three, how does the Spirit equip us to carry out the Great Commission? The Holy Spirit empowers us to do more than we could ever imagine. Flip over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You'll see two funny names as the title of the section that starts with verse 32. Aeneas and Dorcas, two awesome names. Who are those people? Well, if you read those stories, they're people who Peter was miraculously able to help. Aeneas was a man who had been bedridden for years. In other words, he couldn't walk. And Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to heal him. Then this woman named Dorcas, she was loved by many. She was generous, but she died. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, though, Peter's able to raise her from the dead. It wasn't Peter's strength that was doing this. It wasn't Peter's power. It was because Peter had the Holy Spirit in him, and the Holy Spirit chose to use him in these miraculous ways. Now, I've never been able to heal anyone. I've never raised anybody from the dead. But because the Spirit of God is in me, he's enabled to be able to do more than I could have ever imagined. That leads us to a closing verse, and I'm going to need some help. Let's have our counselors all stand up. Every counselor in the room. Are you ready? With energy and enthusiasm, are you ready? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Counselors, close your eyes. You ready? Now to him. Great. When did you guys say that? Every Sunday. Why do you say it every Sunday? Nathan. You say it right before the campers come. Why do you say it right before the campers come? Because without him, we can't do it. You guys can have a seat. The counselors know full well that they don't have what it takes to be cabin leaders and assistant cabin leaders. They need the help of God's Spirit. Don't try to do great things for God in your own strength. Count on God's Spirit in you to strengthen you, to give you wisdom, to give you courage to do the things that he asks you to do. Paul says elsewhere, he says, not by might, not, in other words, not by human strength, nor by power, but by God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an incredible gift. And we see the impact of the Holy Spirit in the life of Peter. He went from coward to courageous. He went from denier to proclaimer. He went from fisherman to miracle worker because of the Spirit of God in him. When you become a Christian, you receive the power and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who resides in you. And he's got incredible plans to use you for God's glory. Will you be open to him? Will you decide, I'm going to be courageous the next time I have the opportunity to share about Jesus or invite somebody to my youth group? Will you decide that I'm willing to take some risks or some steps out of my comfort zone in order to serve the Lord? You know what? In a room like this, I can't wait to see what God uses you to do. Some of you are going to lead your friends to Jesus. Some of you are going to use your spiritual gifts to serve the church in incredible ways. Some of you are going to look back in 10 years and think, I'm so different now because I've been walking with Jesus and because he's empowered me through the Holy Spirit. I can't wait. Let's pray for that right now.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.